You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Coming to the end of our series on the family, next week is our last part on the series, The Family. And we've been really thinking about some of the real hot things that we should hit over this week. And you'll remember on week one, we started talking about the biblical definition of family. And we really gave you what the Bible speaks about in terms of family and the narrative, the meta-narrative of Scripture, and how important the family is to God. It's amazing, if you were to search the internet, you'd see many governments around the world would back up what God already instigated, and they would say family is intimately important in the development of society. We need a stable family environment. And the Bible has said that, and God has designed us to be in those family environments. And we talked about the fact that God used a physical family through the seed of Abraham to bring about his purposes and his plan. And then later on, we were grafted into the family, and now we have a spiritual family. The moment you respond to Jesus and accept him as number one Lord in your life, the Bible speaks about us being adopted, and we looked at that last week. We are spiritually adopted into the family of God. And so we can confidently look around at our church and see that we are not just a crowd that meets for an hour on a Sunday, but rather we are a family that, yes, gathers for an hour on Sunday, but we're a family that meets each other's needs, that prays for each other, that looks out for one another, that supports one another. And today, if you're in a room in North South or here in Central Manchester, you can look around the room and say, we are family. We're family together, and we get to be part of that through the fact that God has brought us into his family. That is what the church is. We looked at that, and over the last few weeks, we've talked a little bit about some of the ups and downs. We've talked about our experience could be in a broken home, and what do we do with that? How does that impact our experience and understanding of the church family and what we need to do with that? And last week we talked about the power of adoption, and both in the natural, we were asking maybe you've got room in your home to support other families and other people, and we can do that also in a church context. In September, new students come to Manchester, and we can say we're going to look out and support people moving to our city because they become part of our church family. And today we're really going to look at a super practical message. It's going to be one that you want to take notes, because there's going to be actions later in the day that you can take. There's definitely going to be actions in the next 7 days that I'm believing that God's going to stir in your heart to cause you to do something different this week. This week, we're talking about the power of responsibility. Stay with me. I love going on holiday. I know many people over the last 7 days, it's been half terms, and some primary schools continue in half term this week, and people have been away, and you're definitely thinking the sun's out. You're thinking, what are we doing in August? You're waiting for June the 21st when we get the announcement about whether the roadmap continues and we can go abroad and we can do all of those things. We love to go on holiday, especially when we're staying in a hotel. Because in a hotel, you can do whatever the heck you want. Especially if you're away, just the two of you, and you're not away with the kids. You can get up when you want. And you don't need to think about anything. You don't even need to make your bed. You don't need to tidy your room. All you need to do is make it to the breakfast room, and breakfast comes to you. And everything about it is just incredible, because just for a few moments in life, you get to have zero responsibility. How many people are loving that? But you know, we can't live in a hotel. We don't live with no responsibility. If you were to come home and treat your home like a hotel, you would find out pretty quickly that your life does not function. So even when you stay in a hotel, I guess the longer you stay, the more nights you stay in the hotel, or definitely I've found the older you get, there's different things about the hotel that are not quite how you have them done. And so even in an environment of zero responsibility, after a while, you begin to want to take back control a little bit. Now I have to, whenever I travel to our hotel, I have to take my own sheet to sleep in because I get too hot and I'm just comfortable with the bed sheet I have. And so we begin to, you know, different elements, we want to take back control. And you might get to breakfast and you're like, the coffee, hotel coffee is just, it's not quite the same as I make it at home. And so maybe you, like me, take your AeroPress wherever you go. And before too long, every benefit of the hotel, you've now taken back control and you basically take your house with you wherever you go. You see, it's true in life that we all want ownership. But the problem with ownership is it requires responsibility. We want to have control. We want things done our way. And the truth is, if you want to have an input, if you want to make your input count for it to have an impact, if you want to have a say and you want to have ownership, then the news is for you that it's going to take responsibility. If you want the family, the home environment that you so desire and you see on Instagram, if you want the church family that you have always ever prayed for and hoped for, then it's not just going to be taken care of by housekeeping or by the pastors. It's going to take every single person taking responsibility. It's going to need every one of us to do what's in our hand to ensure that we create the environment we want to create. The Bible is clear right from the start. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3 all speak to humanity about the power of responsibility. That God commissioned us to subdue the earth. He commissioned us to take leadership. He commissioned us to create the environment and steward the environment that God has gifted to us. And God requires you to steward every resource that He's given to you. He requires you to steward your family, your children, your spouse. He requires you to steward your church family relationships. He requires you to steward every resource He's given to you. And it takes responsibility. The truth is, we can all want the ability to change things and adapt. But we've got to learn, first of all, to face up to the fact it's going to require something firstly of us. I want to give you a few things today, really practically, that you can take away from today and you can put some actions towards. And I believe all of these things will have an incredible impact on your natural family and also on your spiritual family, your church. The first thing to work on, number one, is your character. Character. Your character is your moral, your internal dialogue, the person that you are when nobody sees you in front of everybody else. It's the person that no one sees. And the first and the most important contributing factor to create the environments you want to create, having the great family at home, having the great church family, the first and most important thing is your character. I know we don't want to hear that because we want to hear that everybody else should make my family better. We should hear that that it was that person's act or that person's offense that has caused me to live the way I am. And so now my physical family and my spiritual family are impacted because of what everybody else has done. But I'm saying today, Genesis 1, 2, 3 started out this way. The word of God is full that we start not by looking out of the window, but we start by looking in the mirror. The best way to impact your family is with the person you see every morning before you see everybody else. When you look in the mirror, you have the greatest contributing factor to everything in your life. Jim Collins spoke about it in the book Good to Great. He speaks about the mirror and the window principle, that both the mirror and the window are created with the same raw materials. They're made of primarily glass. But a small filter in the mirror makes the experience entirely different. Jim Collins, in studying some of the top CEOs and executives from around the world, when he was defining the difference between good and great, good being the enemy of great, he was saying the great leaders, the great people, were the people who, when there was a challenge, they didn't look out of the window at other people and shift blame to everybody else. When there was a challenge, they chose to look in the mirror and ask, what is it about myself that is at fault here? Equally, Jim said that the great leaders were the people that when there was a success, they didn't look in the mirror and say, oh, it's because of these things that I implemented. When there was a success, they looked out of the window and they put the success on everybody else. The same is true in our life with family. If you, in challenging times, are tempted to always look out the window and blame your sister, or blame your upbringing, or blame your church small group leader, or blame this person or that person in a challenge, then you are never going to become the person that God is calling you to become. But if you make a decision to look in the mirror in challenging times and say, what is God trying to do in me? The Bible is clear in challenging times that we benefit through perseverance. And the Bible says that through perseverance, we develop patience, we develop strength of character, and we become fully mature, attaining to everything that God has for us. See, in your greatest challenges, that's the time to look in the mirror. And when the success, you should be the first one to say, thank God for Pastor Glenn and Pastor Soph. Thank God for my life group leader. If it wasn't for them, I would never be experiencing what I am now. See, God is stirring each one of us to become the contributors, not consumers, that is calling us to be. And the way we become the great contributors is by looking in the mirror first. What is it within me that needs to change? Listen to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you. Come on, look in the mirror for a moment because this is who God has called you to be. Therefore, as God's chosen people. All right, good. I'm chosen. Therefore, I can face whatever God's coming at me with next. I can face the challenge because I am chosen. Come on, just say, I am chosen. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, now the responsibility clicks in, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, it's speaking about our relationships, and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Wow, this is important stuff. In our relationships, we may have been offended, but just because we've been offended doesn't mean we're right. You may feel offended. That may be true, but it doesn't mean your offense is correct. And so the Bible teaches us with offense to forgive in the same way that God forgave us. That's how we forgive. If you have a grievance, and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. That scripture is all about responsibility. The scripture is about identity, that I'm chosen, that I'm holy, that I'm dearly loved. And therefore, because of those things, I'm more than just looking out of the window and blaming everybody else. Because I'm chosen, because I'm holy, because I'm dearly loved, I can face every challenge and look in the mirror and look at myself and say, what needs to change in me to make my family environment better? What do I need to do to make my church experience better? What do I need to do? See, there's greatness in you because you are chosen, because you are holy, because you are dearly loved. Do yourself a favor and ask yourself first, what needs to change in me? This is our character. So within character, first of all, take responsibility for your thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, the gospel. Any argument that is in direct opposition to the gospel, we demolish it. We pull it down. We take it down and we take captive every thought and we make it obedient to Christ. Can you hear God who's saying you're chosen, you're holy, you're dearly loved, and because of that, take responsibility. Take every thought and you make a decision what you're going to do with it. Am I going to allow this thought to dictate who I am? Or am I going to make it obedient to Christ? Every thought you don't need to own. You can decide what you do with it. Every thought and temptation that pops into your head all through the day, so many of them are incorrect. So many of them are just absolutely false and wrong. So many of them need to be taken down. So many of them, you need to take them first of all before you do anything with them. And now, you're just a little bit more objective with your thoughts and you say, what do I do with this thought? Am I going to own it and action it, or am I going to make it obedient to Christ? You get yourself to Christ, and if you come back, you're good and we'll do something with you. This is taking responsibility for our thoughts. Secondly, take responsibility for your words. Proverbs speak about your words being the difference between life and death. I wonder what your words are bringing about in your family environments. Are you always bringing things up, elevating them, or are you always bringing things down with the power of your words? James 1:19, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. If you're gonna say something, make it count. Often the best thing a lot of people can say is absolutely nothing. Sometimes the best thing you can say in an argument is nothing. Thirdly, take responsibility for your actions. The second thing I want you to take responsibility for here, first one is character, who you are. The second thing is your context. Your context. Your context is the environment or situation, the role, the position in life that you have right now. You should take responsibility for your role in life today. I've had many, many, many roles in life, and so have you. I've grown up in a house where I had zero responsibility as a child. I was learning about responsibility. And so as I got older, I began to learn more and action more about taking responsibility in my house. And these things grow. And then I moved away from home and I was renting a home. Then I got married and we bought our first house and we owned a home. And then I became a landlord. And with each step, there was a different level of responsibility. Different responsibilities for different zones of life. At one time, I was a boyfriend. And then I became a fiancé. And then I became a husband. And now I'm a father. Again, different context of life required different levels of responsibility. I once was a fruit picker. I picked strawberries. Then I became a gym instructor and a retail assistant. I became a youth pastor, a campus pastor. And again, all of these different contexts required a different level of responsibility. The truth is, every single one of us finds ourselves in a position today. And God is not asking you to take responsibility for tomorrow's context if you've taken zero responsibility with today's context. In fact, I'll go a stage further and say that God is not going to give you tomorrow's context unless you take full responsibility for today's context. So where has God positioned you today? I'm not asking what God's dream, what your dream of God's plan and purpose for your life is. I'm asking, where has God positioned you today? Where has circumstance positioned you today? Where has your career landed you at today? Because God is saying, yes, there's more for you. Definitely. The promise is assured, but it's also conditional of you taking responsibility and ownership for what I've put in your hand today. Because in life, every part of our growing capacity is in direct correlation with our growing character, with taking ownership of our growing context. And God is saying, come on, every single one of you, wherever you find yourself, do whatever you can with what is in your hand to do today. Don't be so obsessed by tomorrow that you miss out on what God wants to teach you today. This is our context. The Bible is clear on some context. Fathers, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the teaching, the training and instruction of the Lord. Mothers, the Bible's clear, Proverbs 31:25-27. She's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Children, the Bible is very clear on your context. Exodus 20:12, honor your mother and father. Colossians takes it a step further and says, obey your mother and father. Husbands, the Bible is clear on your context. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The Bible is clear on the context of wives. Ephesians 5:33, the wife must respect her husband. The Bible is clear on many contexts, many roles, many positions in life. And I wonder where you find yourself at today, because God is asking in order for your natural family to become everything that you wish and desire for it to become, God needs you to take full responsibility in your current context. In order for your church experience to be everything that you wish, hope, and desire, God requires you to take responsibility with the context today. And the last thing is be responsible for your character, your context, and the third thing is your gifts. God has gifted every single person in this building, every person in North Manchester, South Manchester, all around the world, online campus. God has gifted every single person. Paul speaks throughout the New Testament. He speaks as 24 different gifts that Paul lists through many different lists through the New Testament. Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have the same function, so in Christ, the spiritual family, we are many, though we form one body, and each member belongs to the others. You belong to everybody else in this room. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve in accordance with your faith. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then lead diligently. If teaching, then teach. And if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. 1 Corinthians 12 gives us two more lists. Ephesians 4 gives us another list of gifts that the Spirit of God gives to the church. Many, many times, Paul, in a sense, is just saying to every church, context is speaking, come on, the Spirit has gifted you, church. He's put gifts and talents on you. Come on, listen again to the words of Jesus. Remember that story he taught us in Matthew 25? Remember that story he was teaching the people, he was teaching them about, with everything that you are gifted with, don't just sit on it and do nothing with it, but multiply, put it to work, learn, grow, develop the gift that God has given to you. And throughout the New Testament, Paul is saying, come on, church, operate in your gift. I wonder how many gifts in this room or online may be right now laying dormant. This may be the great tragedy that maybe you're here and you don't even know that you're gifted. I hope you're in just a second with that. Maybe you're here and you're just saying, I'm gifted, but no one's tapped me on the shoulder. No one's seen my gift. I want to encourage you today, the gift makes way for the giver and ushers him into the presence of the great. Your gift, matched with the right time, will cause an incredible kairos opportunity, a God opportunity, an Isaac moment to take place. You don't need to manufacture your opportunity. You don't need to make your moment. All you need to do is understand the gift that you've got. Sit tight for long enough. If your gift is not being used, the reason God gifts us is for the benefit of everybody else. And so maybe at the moment, everybody else doesn't quite need or isn't ready for your gift. But at the Kairos moment, God is going to open up a door and your gift, you'll go from, you know, the back right to the front because God has fast-tracked. He's seen you developing on character. He's seen you developing your context. And in the Kairos moment, he created a way for your gift. How do I know what God's put on my life? Number one, you realize what God has gifted you with by what other people would say about you. So one thing you could do this week is ask your friends, what do you see on me? Another way is, when you find things easy that other people seem to struggle with, this might be God nudging you to show the gift that he has on your life. You just seem to do things and other people, it takes them ages, but you just like, that's common sense. Maybe that's because God gifted you with that. Another way you can understand what God has gifted you with is when you notice there's gaps or room for improvement. You might be looking around church life and going, oh my goodness, why would someone not just do that? Maybe because God is saying, McFly, context, because you've seen it and you're the family, you're now responsible for it. And I've graced you and gifted you to be the solution. And the fourth way you might know where your gifts lie is, what are the church family asking for? You know, if the church was asking for kids and Maybe we've been asking for many, many different things, but you just keep hearing people bang on about the car park team or the kids team or whatever it is, and you're like, they just won't shut up about that team. Someone else is saying that about a different team. And maybe God has nudged you because your gift is resonating with your spiritual family's request. And so you're like, you just hear it all the time. It's when you buy a white car and now everybody's got a white car. That's how you might identify gifts and talents. I'm asking you right now to play your part at home and play your part in the spiritual house of God. On your seat this morning, there's a join the team. Join the team flyer. In many ways, this is not just about joining a team, it's about joining the family. Because in any family, every person has to take responsibility. In our home, everybody's going to clear up the family meal table. It's going to take the family to make things right. And the same's true here. If this is your house, this is your home, it takes all of us to make the thing happen. Church is not defined by a serving on a Sunday, but this is like the meal time. We all come together. So let's at least put our dish back. Let's at least take one of the condiments and put it back where it should be. Come on, let's all serve the body because our gift is not for the benefit of ourselves so that I can feel fulfilled. Our gift is for the benefit of the church. I'm asking you to seriously consider right now filling this flyer in and taking it to the hub after the service. You're going to find a whole bunch of your family that have been waiting, expecting, and hoping for you to hear the voice of God just nudge you into family. Maybe today has been that nudge. Let me pray for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, God, I just thank you that we don't just come to a meeting. We thank you, God, that you've not just given us a few rows of chairs for an hour on a Sunday. You've given us a spiritual family. Wow, God, you've got so much more for us than we ever thought. And so I pray, God, that we would step up to the plate.